Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sports with the Statman is on the air. Welcome to Sports with the Statman on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, George Sithopoulos, the Statman, on a Saturday morning, the 1st of April, 2017. It is 10 a.m. in the East, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from our Authentic Imitation home studios in northern New Jersey. We're going to be with you for the next 45 minutes, so sit back and enjoy as I take you through the world of sports. A good Saturday morning out there, everybody. April Fool's Day. Welcome to the month of April. And baseball begins for real tomorrow with three games on the slate, April 2nd, and then, of course, Monday, April 3rd, opening day for just about everybody else, as we welcome you to the 2017 baseball season. And we also welcome you to year number 8. We will get started with year number 8 with our next episode, as April 5th, 2009 was our first episode. We've done 726 of them since. This, of course, is episode number 727. So you can listen to some of the oldies but goodies on our Blog Talk Radio page. Go to blogtalkradio.com/the-statman to look through the last few years. And thanks so much for joining us for all of those years, as well as today and this morning, as we still have hockey on the on our mind as well, as we enter into the last full week of the National Hockey League regular season, week number 25, as the season ends a week from tomorrow. And we will have all the good stuff for you. Our weekly best, looking ahead to injuries and hot pickups as you will look to complete your season, whether you're in rotisserie, whether you are finishing up the fantasy hockey playoffs. Congratulations or good luck to you to get through that. I myself am in the loser's bracket final, unfortunately. I was ranked 8th out of 10 teams. Not a good season for me, but... you know, injuries always hit you at the worst time. Speaking of injuries, John Tavares going down with an apparent hamstring injury. They're calling it a lower body injury. He will be reevaluated today. The Islanders have 5 games remaining. They are on the outside of the playoff race looking in, and after a 2-1 win against the Devils last night, that's not enough. They have fallen quite a bit over the last week or so that has really gotten them to this point. However, he will be reevaluated, so we'll find out whether he will come back at all for the rest of this regular season. So that could impact your lineups if you have him for week number 25. But we have more injury news and hot pickups as we take you through. But first, we are going to unveil our All Statman team for the month of March, and of course, our All Statman team is our fantasy focus for this week. And we start with our forwards. And the top centerman is the 4th best scorer among forwards. Usually centerman is near or right at the top, but this month we have some impact wingers who have done a fantastic job. So in the first line center, it's Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers with 7 goals and 12 assists in only 13 games. He was a +6 for penalty minutes. And he had 63.5 fantasy points. He is our first-line center, all Statman for the month of March. On his left wing is Jeff Skinner of the Carolina Hurricanes. He had 12 goals for the month, 5 assists. He was a +10 in 16 games. He had 71 fantasy points. His 12 goals tied with the right winger on the first team all Statman in the month of March, and that is Nikita Kucherov, who had 12 goals and 10 assists for 22 points. 8 penalty minutes in 14 games. He had 76 fantasy points. He was the forward of the month. Nikita Kucherov, 6 power play goals, 4 power play assists. He had a game winner, a hat trick, and he was on fire all month, 22 points in 14 games. What a month for Nikita Kucherov. And for the season, he is He has 38 goals and 42 assists for 80 points. What a what a year he's put together. 68 games. Last year he had 66 points. That was his career high heading into the season. He had 30 goals heading into the year. He has 38 now. He is a bona fide elite forward. And all of this, or most of this, without Steven Stamkos. So it wasn't like he benefited a lot from Stamkos. Kucherov did this completely on his own. Second line center, Sean Monahan of the Calgary Flames. Of course, McDavid and Monahan actually tied in points at 63.5, but Monahan with one fewer assist and one more game played. So we give it to McDavid as the first line center and Monahan as the second line center from the rival Calgary Flames. 7 goals, 11 assists. He was a plus 9 for the month. In 14 games, he had 63.5 points. On his right wing is Patrick Kane, 10 goals, 12 assists, a plus 5. And in 16 games, he had 71 fantasy points. On the left wing was Artemi Panarin, the bread man, the Chicago Blackhawks left winger, 9 goals, 7 assists, and a plus 5. He had 62 fantasy points. So the top six, you have McDavid centering Skinner and Kucherov, and Monahan centering Panarin and Kane, teammates with the Chicago Blackhawks, a solid start. On the third line, Sidney Crosby, 9 goals, 8 assists, a plus 2. He had a hat trick as well in 16 games. He had 58 fantasy points. And for Crosby for the year, he now has 43 goals, 41 assists. He had an unbelievable goal last night against the New York Rangers, where he banked one in off of the back of Henrik Lundqvist's head. Talk about a sharp angle. That is as sharp an angle as it gets. I think when he released the puck was on his stick behind the goal line. That was tremendous. So he is the third line centerman. On the left wing is Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins, 10 goals, 7 assists. He was a minus 2 for the month. With 8 penalty minutes, but he did have 3 game winners, and 2 of his goals were power play goals. He had a hat trick as well, and he had 58.5 fantasy points. On the right wing, Blake Wheeler, the former Bruin, now Winnipeg Jets, 7 goals, 12 assists, a plus 8. He had 13 penalty minutes, which is second on the All-Statman team among forwards. We'll give you who was first in a second, but Blake Wheeler, 63 fantasy points on that third line. So Crosby centering Marchand and Wheeler. On the fourth line, Ryan Getzlaff. He is the aforementioned penalty minute leader among the forwards with 21 penalty minutes, but he had 3 goals, 17 assists for 20 points in 13 games. He was a plus 13 as well, as the Ducks are flying. And Getzlaff at 56 fantasy points. He is the fourth line center, 1 point ahead of Jack Eichel, who was close but no cigar into the All-Statman team. On the left wing was Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames with 5 goals, 12 assists, plus 8. He had 53.5 fantasy points. And on the right wing, Vladimir Tarasenko of the St. Louis Blues, 8 goals, 5 assists, and a plus 6. He had 52 fantasy points. So the fourth line gets last centered by Gaudreau on the left, Tarasenko on the right. Honorable mentions, as we mentioned, Eichel. Also, Ricard Raquel of the Anaheim Ducks, 8 goals, 5 assists, a plus 10. Paul Byron of the Montreal Canadiens, 8 goals, 3 assists, and a plus 12. All of them are centermen, as well as Eric Staal, who had 10 goals and 4 assists and 12 penalty minutes. They were all right there. Nicholas Backstrom of Washington as well, 4 goals, 15 assists. So a lot of big assist numbers. But on the All-Statman team, we had 4 players with 10 or more goals. Eric Staal had 10, was not on the list. Among defensemen, top pairing would be Jacob Slavin and Victor Hedman. Slavin, 3 goals, all of them in one night against the Islanders. 10 assists, a plus 12, 4 penalty minutes. He had a shorthanded goal, a shorthanded assist, a hat trick, and in 17 games he had 78 fantasy points. It was the plus 12 that got him over the hump. For Victor Hedman, he had 5 goals, 10 assists, a plus 1, and he had 69 fantasy points. His 5 goals were tied with Eric Karlsson and Ryan Ellis and Justin Falk for the most among defensemen in the month of March. Alex Pietrangelo, second pairing, also had 69 points with Hedman. Hedman had 2 more goals. Pietrangelo, 3 goals, 8 assists. He was a plus 10, by the way. 2 game winners. Hedman had 3. Pietrangelo with 2 game winners. And on that second pairing along with Pietrangelo is Eric Karlsson with his 5 goals and 8 assists. He was a plus 4. in 14 games, 61.5 points. Andrei Markov also matched Carlson in points with 61.5, 2 goals, 7 assists, and a plus 11 in 13 games. And Duncan Keith and Ryan Ellis were tied for the final spot. We give it to Ellis because of his 5 goals in 4 fewer games than Keith. Keith had a goal and 8 assists and a plus 10. Ellis 5, 4, and 9 with a plus 9. And also 2 power play goals and a game winner in 12 games. He had 56 fantasy points. Duncan Keith, an honorable mention, also at 56 points. Goaltenders, the top two, Sergei Bobrovsky and Jonathan Bernier. In for an injured John Gibson in Anaheim. Bobrovsky was 9-1 with 4 shutouts, a 1.09 goals against, and a 967 save percentage. What a month for Sergei Bobrovsky, as he had 353 shots and only 12 got through. That is an amazing stat. 107 points for Sergei Bobrovsky. Jonathan Bernier 10-1 with an overtime loss. He had a shutout. He had a 1.82 goals against, a 941 save percentage, only allowed 24 goals in the entire month. Bobrovsky, though, allowed only 12. But Bernier, 86.8 points, just a tad more than Brian Elliott, who finished at 86 even. He gets an honorable mention with his solid numbers of 10-2 with 2 shutouts. But Bobrovsky and Bernier are your top guys. Now to enforcers, and we take a look at players who fill up the score sheet and fill up the penalty sheet as well. And Ryan Getzlaff with his 21 penalty minutes, but he made the All-Statman team. So we and so did Blake Wheeler with his 13 penalty minutes. So we give it to Eric Staal. He had 12 penalty minutes. It should be more. If it's 5 a week, it really should be 20 for a month. So let's not give it to Staal. He had only 12 penalty minutes for the entire month, which in 16 games is not that good. For an enforcer. Richard Panik, however, of Chicago, 6 goals, 3 assists, and plus 7. He had 26 penalty minutes in 16 games. Not known for that, but I think he accumulated a lot of them in one shot. But still, 65 enforcer points for Richard Panik, and we give him the edge. In terms of overall penalty minutes for the month, Cody McLeod of Nashville with 59 penalty minutes, Tom Wilson of Washington with 49. But among guys who actually scored a little bit, Radko Gudas had 3 goals, 4 assists, and 30 penalty minutes. Brandon Dubinsky, 2 goals, 6 assists, and 34 penalty minutes. But Panik had a little more scoring as well as almost penalty minute levels as those guys. So Panik is our enforcer of the month. And that does it for our all Statman team. Let's look at the past week and look at the top forwards and top defenseman, top goaltender, top enforcer. Sean Monahan was the top forward in the past 7 days, March 25th through the 31st. He had 28 fantasy points, 3 goals, 5 assists. He had a game winner, 2 power play goals, 2 power play assists as well in 4 games. Marcus Johansson at 25.5 fantasy points, a left winger for the Washington Capitals. He had a single goal but 8 assists and a plus 2. Jaden Schwartz of the St. Louis Blues, 22 fantasy points, 3, 2, and 5 with a plus 6. Artemi Panarin of the Blackhawks, 21 fantasy points, as well as Brendan Gallagher of the Montreal Canadiens. We give Gallagher the 4th spot because he did the damage in 3 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, and a plus 5. He had a game winner. Panarin in 4 games was 4, 1, and 5 and a plus 2 power play goal, so 21 points for both of them. Top local, that distinction belongs to Jordan Wheel, who was actually tied with Connor McDavid, Patrick Eves, and Paul Byron in fantasy points. Wheel, 3 goals, an assist. He had a game winner, and he had 17 fantasy points for the week. On to defensemen. The top defenseman, Kevin Shattenkirk of the Washington Capitals at 29 fantasy points. He had 5 assists, a plus 4. 2 of those assists were on the power play, and he finished first at 29 fantasy points. With his move to Washington at this point, I'm not sure if he's scored a goal. Let's take a quick look at his game by game to see how he's doing. I don't believe so. I think he had I count 11 assists, but his last goal, his most recent goal, he had a 2-goal game on January 21st in Winnipeg. He has not scored a goal since then. However, his assists in our scoring system in our house league, the Puck and Stick Association, an assist for a defenseman is worth just as much as a goal, it is not, it is worth half as much as a goal for forwards, but for defensemen, it is just as much as a goal. So the 5 assists for Shattenkirk really coming in handy, a plus 4 as well. Andre Markov finished second, 2 goals, 2 assists, a plus 4, 26.5 fantasy points. And you see by that rationale, Shattenkirk's 5 assists was worth more than Markov's 2 goals and 2 assists. Jonas Brodin of the Minnesota Wild with 3 assists, he was a plus 5, he had 22 fantasy points. Shane Gostisbehere, a goal and 3 assists, 2 penalty minutes, he had 22 fantasy points. Let's give Gostisbehere the third star. Brodin finishing 4th, 5th, Justin Falk, 2 goals, 2 assists, a plus 3. And in 4 games, he had 21.5 fantasy points. So Gostisbehere, the top local in 3rd place, tied for 3rd, really, with 22 fantasy points. Among goaltenders, let's take a look at the top goaltenders for the past week, and they are Sergei Bobrovsky, who had the best month, and you could say he was the most valuable player in the All-Statman team in March, with a 2-1 record and a shutout. 3 goals against on 98 shots. And he had 26.6 fantasy points, a solid week for Bobrovsky, who has had an amazing season. Obviously, as you know, he has really been key to the Blackhawks, the Blue Jackets, fortunes this year. He has been nothing short of phenomenal. If you look at his unbelievable record, actually, I do believe it's 98 saves out of 101 shots, not 95 saves out of 98. I believe it's 98 out of 101. But he is 41-14 this year with a .935 save percentage. To do that over a full season is really unbelievable. And the loss that he had was a loss last night, in fact, in Chicago. Before that loss, the last one he dropped was February 19th, 6 weeks ago in Nashville. That is how good he has been. That's how good the Blue Jackets have been. Carey Price, 3-0, a perfect week for him. He allowed 4 goals on 91 shots, 1.33 goals against, .956 save percentage, 22.4 fantasy points. Tuukka Rask was 2-0 with a shutout, allowed 1 goal in 52 shots, a fantastic week for Tuukka Rask after being day-to-day earlier. He has really helped key the Bruins to be in playoff position at this point. So he has been excellent. 21.2 points for him. Steve Mason for the Flyers, a perfect week, 3-0, a 2.27 goals against, a .927 save percentage. He had 21 fantasy points. And Brian Elliott bringing up the end of the top 5, 3-1. He had a 2.45 goals against, .922 save percentage. So out of the top 5 goalies, you have a cumulative record of 13-2, 2 shutouts, a solid week for those top 5 goaltenders. And Tuukka Rask, your top local, just edging out Steve Mason by a 1/5 of a point. On to enforcers, our enforcer of the week. Let's take a look. Of course, players who need to have at least 2 points and at least 5 penalty minutes. And Jerome Iginla fits the bill, 3 goals and an assist for the Kings, a plus 1, 5 penalty minutes. He had 1 major, 25.5 fantasy points. He fits the bill, and he is our enforcer of the week. Jerome Iginla, Ratko Gudas, a pretty close second, a half a point back with 2 goals and 16 penalty minutes. Corey Perry, a half point behind that, 3 goals and assist and 9 penalty minutes. And Richard Panik, a point behind Perry with 2 goals and 17 penalty minutes. So quite a few guys racking him up. But Iginla was the best of the best. Let's take a quick look at our special teams and see where they rate. If you have a special teams unit as a lineup slot on your team, as in your league, as we do in our house league, but the top 10 in both power play and penalty kill, you have the Buffalo Sabres at the top with 25.3%. They've allowed 3 shorthanded goals on the season, which is not bad. The Toronto Maple Leafs at 23.9%. They're in second for power play, and they've allowed 5 shorthanded goals. The Caps at 23.6, allowing 2 shorthanded goals. Tampa Bay Lightning at 23.1. Edmonton bringing up the end of the top 5 at 22.1. The back end of the top 10, Pittsburgh at 22%, St. Louis at 21.6, Boston at 20.9, Minnesota at 20.4, and Montreal, Columbus, and Calgary all very close at 20.1%. Montreal is listed 10th on the NHL website. So that is a pretty good group. Buffalo and Toronto have been towards the top all year long. And, of course, you have solid teams like Washington and Edmonton and Pittsburgh, St. Louis and Minnesota. They've been on there for most of the year. On the penalty kill, the Florida Panthers are in first place at 85.7%. The Kings second at 85.3%. Carolina also at 85.3%, but they have 10 shorthanded goals scored compared to only 5 for the Kings. Carolina a little more valuable there. The Boston Bruins are on both lists, 85.3% of the penalty kill, and they've scored 10 shorthanded goals. They have had a really good special teams group this year. Anaheim at number 5 at 85.1 with 9 shorthanded goals scored. St. Louis on both lists at 84.3. The Caps at 84%, they're on both lists. Toronto, second on the power play, 8th on the penalty kill at 82.8. Columbus at 82.7. Minnesota at 82.4. They're right around the same spot. Columbus is in that mix at 10, 11, and 12 from the power play. They're 9th on the kill. Minnesota on the bottom half of the top 10 on the power play and 10th on the kill. So those are some good special teams units for you to take a look at. Let's take a look at injuries. 20 minutes past the hour. Still have a lot to go tonight, or today, I should say. Injuries and hot pickups. And then fantasy baseball, we have our finale of our preview where we are reviewing our rankings and also taking a closer look at starting pitching. As you might be drafting today, you might have already had your draft, and you're trying to just take a look at which players have spots in the rotation, which do not. So we'll take a quick look at depth charts around the league. I ended up picking up a couple of guys in the draft that I expected to have rotation spots. One did not, and one may not make the opening day roster, might be sent to AAA. So you have to gamble. If you draft before the season starts, you have to gamble because you're not exactly sure who the opening 25 will be. But we will take a look at all that. And plus a note or two about our draft in our house league, the first to third league, the aforementioned draft that I just mentioned. So we'll have a quick look into all of that. First, for injuries, I mentioned John Tavares' injury. He is day-to-day with a lower body. Let's take a look at the guys who are on IR, new players that have been put there in the past week. Of note, anyway, Steven Stamkos, we have an update on Stamkos. He is officially day-to-day now. Still on IR, but day-to-day. He's not played since November the 15th. They're taking it game by game. He did not play on Thursday against Detroit. His next game today against Montreal, then Dallas tomorrow, both evening games. It is rumored that he will play in one of those games. So in perfect timing for when you need to make your moves on Monday, if you have a Monday to Sunday league for the last week of the season, you may want to be able to get him back in your lineup if possible. Tyler Myers, a lower body injury. He is progressing well. Looking to come back before the end of the season, and they have 4 games left starting today against Ottawa, does Winnipeg, at home at 7 o'clock. But Myers is looking to return to the Jets lineup before the end of the season. Ole Mata with a hand injury, he is going to miss 6 weeks. So that if Pittsburgh lasts quite a while in the playoffs, which is entirely possible, Mata may be able to return. But a down season for him, a goal and 6 assists, 17 or plus 17 in 54 games. For Mata. Chris Letang, an upper body injury for him. He is making progress, skating, but not in a full practice. So they are looking to make sure he is good for the playoffs, not so much for the regular season, as they are battling for playoff position, but they have a spot. Letang has not played since February the 21st. Jacob Markstrom, with a knee injury, they are thinking about, well, they thought about shutting him down, and they decided to go with surgery. So he is most likely done for the rest of the year, 10-11 for the year, 9-10 save percentage, and 70 fantasy points. He has not played in a little over a month, about a month and a week, against the Devils on February 25th. That was Markstrom's last appearance. So that is a look at players who are newly placed on, or either newly placed on IR, where we have some sort of an update. Players who are out for any length of time. Let's see here. We have... do we have an update on Artem Anisimov? He is expected to resume skating soon, most likely probably trying to get ready for the playoffs, maybe getting in a game or two at the end of the season before the playoffs start. They have four left. Last home game tomorrow against Boston at 12:30. Then they go on the road to Colorado, Anaheim, and the Kings to finish off the regular season. But Chicago already clinching a spot in first place in the Central Division. Tyler Johnson of Tampa out with a lower body, nearing a return, as well as Stamkos. So he did not play on Thursday, but once again, potential of coming back. 19 goals, 25 assists for him. He's not played since March 9th. Paul Stastny of St. Louis, lower body, week to week. That is the a determination, and it has been a week and a half for him, so still on the shelf. Logan Couture, a mouth injury, will not play during the Sharks road trip that ends tomorrow in Vancouver. They have three home games to finish off the season, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary, all divisional matchups. So he may come back for one of those games as San Jose tries to get going and I believe get ready for the playoffs. I haven't looked at the standings in the last little while, but I believe the Sharks have a playoff spot. Yes, they do. They have the third spot in the Pacific, but they are only 3 points behind Anaheim for the division. Very tight race in the Pacific. Anaheim with 96 points, Edmonton with 95, San Jose with 93. But Couture with a mouth injury day-to-day, kind of officially. Roberto Luongo, lower body. He has not played for a while, will not be available tonight. He has not played in a month. March 2nd was his most recent game. And, of course, Florida not in the race for a playoff spot. Eddie Lack, scary situation. I don't know if you saw it, but he was stretchered off the ice, went to the hospital. He is looking to start skating soon. That was against Detroit on March the 27th. Not sure if he will make a return this year with Carolina. Still trying to push for a spot, but Cam Ward is the main man. Eddie Lack is the backup. Alexander Barkov with an upper body injury. He will not return today. 21 goals, 31 assists for him. He played earlier in the week against Toronto, but he is looking to try and come back before the end of the season. They have five games left, three of them at home. And finally, Anthony Mantha of the Detroit Red Wings out with a finger injury, out for the year, or the rest of the year, the last five games. He has a fractured finger he sustained in a fight against Luke Witkowski of Tampa on Thursday. That ends his season, and he will have the off season to rest and recover. Okay, take a look at hot pickups if you're still allowed to pick players up. Let's give you a quick option. Elias Lindholm of the Carolina Hurricanes in medium league leagues is available. 11 goals, 32 assists in what has been a pretty successful year. 3 goals and 3 assists in his last 7 games. He was held scoreless on Thursday night against Columbus. Also, Sebastian Aho in shallow leagues, 23 goals, 24 assists for the 19-year-old. You look at Aho and Skinner and Lindholm, and the future looks bright for the Carolina Hurricanes. The Finnish winger, Sebastian Aho, with a 2-goal game in New Jersey last week. He is 20 more goals, 20 more assists, and he's under 20 years old. Very, very good there. In terms of deep leagues, leagues that reward penalty minutes, obviously Tom Wilson is available. 6 goals, 12 assists, and he had an assist in 2 straight games. Also in deep leagues, how about Sven Andrighetto, former Canadian. He is now with Colorado, 7 goals, 12 assists. He had a 2-goal game against Calgary the other night, 2 assists against Washington a couple nights after that. So in his last 4 games, he has 3 goals, or 5 games, I should say, 3 goals and 3 assists for 6 points. He is liking the new surroundings in Colorado. Very quickly, in terms of defensemen, Jacob Slavin in medium leagues actually will be shallow leagues by the time this week is through, going up from 47% to 51%. Shallow leagues would be Ryan Ellis. Deep leagues, Connor Murphy of the Arizona Coyotes, 2 goals, 15 assists for the year, but he was a +3 against Washington the other night in a very impressive win that Arizona had over the Washington Capitals. In deep leagues, that might be an okay option. And for goaltenders, let's take a look. Jonathan Bernier in medium leagues. Curtis McElhaney will probably get some a couple of starts in the final week of the season as Columbus tries to rest up for the playoffs, even though they are in a fight for first place in the division. Right now, Washington is at 110 points, Columbus at 106, Pittsburgh at 105. Home ice is on the line in the first round, so Columbus obviously still going to the whip, but they do need to rest some guys, and McElhaney might be the beneficiary of a start or two. And in shallow leagues, let's give you Steve Mason of the Flyers. Now, our live feed is about to cut out, our podcast-only version for the next 15 minutes, and you can listen to the entire 45-minute show, not only the 30-minute live feed, but the 15-minute podcast-only version, in a number of different ways. You can go to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/the-statman. You can listen live there. That's the only place you can listen live, but you can also listen to past episodes. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just type in Sports with the Statman in the search and like us there, follow us there. Not like us. Well, you can like us as well, but you can follow us there and leave a review. And also, you can get the podcast by going to Stitcher. Using Stitcher, the smart radio app, you can download the app for free in the Apple App Store or on Google Play, or go to Stitcher.com to find out more about it. You can add us to your playlist, give us a thumbs up, take it on the go with you, and download the episode over Wi-Fi so you don't have those nasty data charges as well. And listen to us while you work or while you work out or on your way to work, on your way home from work, whatever you like. It's available to you. Also, the website is StatmanSportsOnline.com. That's StatmanSportsOnline.com. We are on Facebook and on Twitter. So Facebook is facebook.com/sportswiththestatman. We link all of our audio there. You can like us on Facebook, join the conversation, start the conversation. If you have a fantasy question or a pro opinion you want to get off your chest, you could do so by going to you're looking me up on Twitter, at gstatman. That's at gstatman. And, of course, we are on just about every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Once in a while we'll have a different date and time, so check the Blog Talk Radio show page for the latest information. Okay, we are at 31 past the hour. We are going to take a look now at fantasy baseball, wrap up our finale, as opening day is a little more than 24 hours away. As let's take you through the schedules very quickly here, as we get started tomorrow. That is, it's happening. And the Yankees are in Tampa for the first game of the season. Masahiro Tanaka and Chris Archer start us off at 1:10 p.m. The Giants in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks, Madison Bumgarner and Zach Greinke in a great matchup at 4:10 Eastern. And the Cubs and the Cardinals in the traditional, now what has become a traditional Sunday night national game, John Lester taking on Carlos Martinez, an 8:35 start. Usually, the World Series winner opens on national TV on the night before opening day. Now, there have been a couple of other games added, so it kind of loses its luster a little bit, but the Cubs and Cardinals, that's always a good one, and that will start at 8:35. Starts for local teams on Monday. You have the Mets at home against the Braves. Noah Syndergaard taking the ball on opening day against Julio Teheran. That is a 1:10 start. The Red Sox will play host to the Pittsburgh Pirates at 2:05. That will be Rick Porcello and Garrett Cole in an interleague matchup on opening day at Fenway Park. And the Phillies will be on the road in Cincinnati at 4:10. That used to be always the first game of the year. And it is, by my count, going to be the one of the ninth games of the year in Cincinnati. Jeremy Hellickson will get the nod for the Phillies for the second straight year. Scott Feldman for Cincinnati. That will be the matchup. Other big matchups on opening day, you have the Nationals starting out at home against Miami. That is a particular consequence in the National League East, as Strasburg will take on Edinson Volquez of the Miami Marlins. Also, you have the Blue Jays in Baltimore. That is important in the AL East, a 3:05 start. Marco Estrada and Kevin Gausman will start off there. That's pretty much it. A lot of other teams obviously getting going. By my count, 24 teams on Monday. The first six on Sunday. So between the two days, everyone will get started either on Sunday or Monday. No one has to wait until Tuesday. Once in a while, you get a team that starts until Tuesday. It looks like all 30 teams will be in action, and maybe that's why they put a couple extra games on Sunday for that reason. But regardless, that is how the baseball season will begin. And let's take a look a little deeper into starting pitching. And if we reduce it to tiers and top tiers, to me, Clayton Kershaw, as I mentioned last week, is in a class by himself as long as he's healthy. You know, he only finished 13th in fantasy scoring among pitchers last year, but that's because he only had 21 game starts. He had about 12 or 13 fewer than the top guys. If you look at points per game start, you're looking at 25.6, which if you look at other guys that are up there, Max Scherzer, 19.7, Madison Bumgarner, 17.9, Justin Verlander, 17.6, John Lester, 18.3. You get the idea. He's head and shoulders above everybody as long as he stays healthy. He had the back issue, I believe, last year, so that's important, but he's in a class by himself. Next tier, Bumgarner, Scherzer, Lester, Verlander, they're right there. They are at the top of their game. I would say Syndergaard is at the top of that next tier, waiting to go into that next group. Syndergaard, 14-9 last year, 218 strikeouts in 183 and two-thirds innings. So some really solid numbers, obviously. But, you know, that's really his first full season of being a starting pitcher with the Mets. We'll see how it goes, and he is going to start on opening day. An interesting note from our draft. Now, I understand our fantasy league consists of a lot of East Coast players. Just off the top of my head, there are 6 out of the 12 teams that are based on the East Coast. We have somebody in California. We have somebody in Minnesota. We have somebody in Detroit. So it's not completely New York-based. Out of the East Coast, you have some in Boston, some in Philly, some in New York. But the top 4 Mets starting pitchers were picked in the first 125 players of the draft. I can't remember a time, and we've done our league for 18 years, and we had various leagues of 10 years before that, where 4 starting pitchers of the same team were drafted really in the first 10 or 11 rounds of a draft, of a 12-team draft. The only thing I can think of is Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz and Steve Avery in the early 90s Braves, mid-90s Braves. The only thing I can think of, but I don't think even that, of course, if the league was based in Atlanta, it probably would be, but I put him in that, I put the Mets starting pitching in terms of popularity anyway, in that type of category. But Syndergaard is the first there at number 6. I love Chris Sale of the Red Sox, and I think he's going to be in a better offense. So that winning, the win-loss record last year of 17-10 will get better. And that will help his overall numbers. He finished 12th among all pitchers scoring. And among starting pitchers, he was 8th. I put him 7th. I like Kluber, Corey Kluber, 8th. Rick Porcello at 9th. The 22-4 record, you can't expect that year over year. But I think he is, he had not reached his ceiling yet before last year, and maybe last year was his career year, but he is now in the conversation among top 10 pitchers in the league. He just is, even though he's probably going to get the ball. Well, he's going to get the ball second, but when David Price is healthy, he might be the third best pitcher on that staff, quite possibly. We'll definitely see about that, but with Chris Sale and Rick Porcello, both in the top 10, very good. I have Jake Arrieta at number 10, he's the second best starter with the Cubs, as John Lester is the top man. Looking at that next group with Masahiro Tanaka and Johnny Cueto of the Giants, that's kind of the next level. Danny Duffy, Jose Quintana, that's pretty much in that mid-teens area. Steven Strasburg as well. So that's kind of it's the next tier. You want to say Carlos Carrasco, Carlos Martinez, also Zach Greinke, who is not in as good a situation in Arizona as he was in with the Dodgers, obviously. But to me, at that next tier, Aaron Sanchez, who had a really good year last year but needs to keep proving it. Same with Kenta Maeda. Jacob deGrom. I think Jacob deGrom actually belongs in that tier that I was mentioning with Strasburg and Martinez and Tanaka. So I think deGrom is a top 20 starter in baseball. And he has had a very good spring, as much as you could talk about spring training numbers. You really can't. But I would say in that area, DeGrom is in that tier that we mentioned, that fourth tier. But talking about the fifth tier, I mentioned Sanchez, I mentioned Maeda, Marcus Stroman also belongs there, Jameson Taillon, Julio Urias, who is probably going to have an innings limit this year, and Cole Hamels belongs there, Felix Hernandez, who has dropped a bit, but I think he's still a star pitcher and definitely, I'd say, a top 30 starter. J.A. Happ, who's been able to somehow get it done, even though a lot of people said that he wouldn't last in the major leagues. He has done a very good job getting hitters out over the years. And also Jake Odorizzi of the Tampa Bay Rays kind of belong in that tier there. So beyond that, I think you're hitting and hoping. You're looking for guys that will rise to be a mid-tier, middle-of-the-rotation starter. But, you're also probably looking for solid fourth and fifth starters. Fifth starters in April hurt you because they get skipped over early because of a couple of rain dates that are built into the schedule. So a guy like Zach Wheeler might not be all that valuable in April, and you want to see how he goes anyway, but he's going to be drafted in a lot of leagues. So that is something you have to think about. In fact, in terms of the Mets starting rotation in our house league, not only were the top three, Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Harvey picked, but also Mats, Wheeler, Robert Gesellman was picked. Seth Lugo was not picked in our draft, but six starters were picked, which tells you, that one of them is not going to either make the team or be in kind of a middle relief role that will not be very valuable in fantasy baseball. So that's kind of a look at the tiers of starting pitching. Guys that are wild cards out there, how is Matt Harvey going to produce? Will Joe Ross make the ball club in Washington? Potential sophomore slump for Sean Manea, or will he really continue on? The post-prospect hype of a guy like Tyler Skaggs, who's banged up, but he should be ready to go. Can a guy like Ivan Nova continue his rise since coming over from the Yankees to the Pittsburgh Pirates? A guy like Garrett Richards, who decided to avoid Tommy John surgery. There's a lot of interesting storylines with guys that are below that list and kind of reaching for top 40 status. Those are things you got to really take into account when you make your draft picks. Okay, let's take a look at our rankings that we've had. We can try and fly through it. Among catchers, Posey, Lucroy, I have Salvador Perez at number three. Gary Sanchez, Matt Wieters at the top at the top of the list. I have Matt Wieters at number five, which I think he's undervalued around the league. He's going to be going to a good Washington team. You keep waiting for him to put it together. Maybe I'm just a believer and I need to really look at the numbers a little more. But guys who I think are overvalued, Yadier Molina, just signed a new deal, Brian McCann, undervalued, I have Wieters and Travis d'Arnaud. This is going to be the last chance for him with the Mets. And I have Wilson Ramos as a sleeper. He's going to start the year, I believe, on the DL. So that's something to take into account. But a guy like JT Realmuto also is a sleeper just because, he's a guy who actually steals bases. The only guy in my top 20 among catchers who have double-digit steals. First base, Anthony Rizzo, Joey Votto, Paul Goldschmidt, Miguel Cabrera, in that order, they're at the top tier. Then you have Freddie Freeman rounding out the top five. I have Matt Adams as a sleeper on this list. I have him at number 18. I also like C.J. Cron at number 15. I drafted him in my draft. Second base, Jose Altuve, Robinson Cano, Daniel Murphy, Jason Kipnis, and Rougned Odor are my top five. I think Brian Dozier is overvalued. I have him at number nine. Also, Gene Segura, who's going to switch over to shortstop, I have him overvalued at number 13. Jonathan Scope, I have him as a sleeper at 14. He has big power, but the issue for him has always been getting on base, a .298 on base percentage. Not very good. Third base, Nolan Arenado at number 1, Josh Donaldson at 2, Chris Bryant, the MVP of the National League. I have him as the third best third baseman in fantasy baseball. Manny Machado at 4, Adrian Beltre still getting it done at number 5. I have Ryan Healy of Oakland as a sleeper at number 19, and Eduardo Nunez with some downside. I have him as ranked number 15 among third basemen. I know that's a little unpopular. A lot of prognosticators have him in the top 10. Now, among shortstops, Corey Seager, I have him as the number one shortstop. .308 in his rookie year, .512 slugging percentage. He is already there. Carlos Correa at number 2, Francisco Lindor at number 3, Xander Bogaerts at number 4, and Jonathan Villar at number 5.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.